Good afternoon. Scott Spears back with you here. Hour number two of the Now program on this Tuesday, 17 minutes coming up on 18 past the hour. And as many of you know, earlier this month, it seems like so long ago now, but we did have a primary election here in Marion. Two school levies, River Valley and Pleasant, both passed. Unfortunately, the developmental disabilities measure failed, I think, by 19 votes, so close. But on that day, we did have one primary in the city for the big elections coming up this November, in which the mayor will be up for re-election, as will the auditor, as will all city council seats. It was a Democratic primary in the 5th Ward between Tara Dyer and Tanner Hale, and Tara succeeded in her bid in that Democratic primary. And we've had Tanner on. Tanner came on, I believe, 2 days after the election and discussed what he thought of the outcome. So it's always good to have Tara Dyer in to get her thoughts on the primary and where we go from here and thoughts on things in the city of Marion, which we always are thinking about. Tara, thanks so much for coming in today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
How excited were you the night of the primary?
I was so excited. I had a kind of a watch thing at my favorite place to eat, Attaboy's, and I had invited several people to come out and watch with me, not knowing the procedure is different in a primary and how they notify people and so on and so forth. I thought the numbers would come in periodically, and they just didn't. So we just had a great time there. People came out in support. We had a great meal, and we talked about great ideas for Marion's future.
Now, last time we spoke was right after you had announced that you were going to run, and it was the only primary in Marion.
Correct.
And as you went into primary night, election night, how confident were you that you could win that primary?
No, I wasn't confident at all, because I my opponent declared before I did, and I declared after much thought and prayer, and so I really wasn't confident. I'm always confident in my ability to do things and get things done, that kind of thing, but I wasn't confident in voter turnout and, you know, all those type of things. So, and as you know, it was less than 200 people that showed up in the 5th, but I want to thank those people that did vote for me, though, because that truly made a difference. And I didn't even do fundraising, because Scott, I had some money from, as you know, I just recently had run for county commissioner, so I still had some funds in my account, and so I did no fundraising. I operated on the kind donations that I still had in my account. So that in itself, you know, was telltale for me, because I didn't see, you know, fundraising if I were to lose, you know. So why go out and solicit money if I wasn't going to need that for the general election? So there were several things that I did cautiously this time to really illustrate, you know, where I was as far as the confidence level and also with me appearing on the ballot.
When you went and talked to people in the 5th, what was their general feeling, being that they were the only, just the Democrats in the 5th, the only people who could vote in this primary?
The general feeling, primaries don't bring out a lot of people. So first of all, I had to make sure that, you know, that they understood what was on the line, and their confidence in me was heartwarming. And as I talked to them, and I think the fact that people know me helps a lot, and they trust me. And if you know and trust someone, then your message is definitely appreciated. So I think, too, a lot of people don't understand politics, because people knew that I was on the ballot, but they might have been in the first ward or the second ward, and they was like, I want to vote for Tara, but you're not in my ward, mm-hmm. you know. So a lot of people, the political savvy was missing, you know, and I would see people in the post office, and they said, you weren't on my ballot. And I said, well, you probably weren't in the fifth, you mm-hmm. know. So just talking, getting out there and talking to people and just making sure that we educated them and, you know, and of course they said, write this down, you know, there's a pothole on my, you know, on my street, or I'm very concerned about this issue or whatever. So they want to have the opportunity to talk.
Now, as we headed into primary day, mm-hmm. Obviously both you and Tanner were Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
What were the differences there? What was the difference in the choice that people had?
Well, I feel like there were huge differences in he and I, and I think he outlined those on your show. You know, the age difference, definitely. He talked about the fact that I did work at Benjamin Harrison Elementary School, which is over there. I've always been a Democrat, you know, and I think, you know, him at one time or point another being a Republican, that might have been a factor. I think for me, you know, when you have like a lot of visibility, that helps, you know. And you know, I'm on several committees. I'm, you know, just recently did the thing with the Martin Luther King Avenue. I deliver Meals on Wheels, you know, those kind of things. So, but unfortunately for me, I felt like when I was listening to your show, I felt like that was almost like a put down my age, you know, and stuff. Because he said something about Tara's been around. I wasn't even alive in all of her years at Harrison. I was like, oh, get my cane. I need my cane, you know, that kind of stuff. But I felt like even in his concession speech that he mentioned age was a factor. For him, it was like a negative as you when you were interviewing him. And for me, it was a negative because, like, I was, like, so old, you know. And a lot of times people said that, you know, he's, you know, Tanner's energetic. And I'm like, okay, you know, I am too, you know. So kind of like the Hillary thing. Remember when they talked about Hillary? That's the way I felt.
When, because obviously, as you said, you've heard the interview. That was a popular interview.
Mm-hmm.
I believe one of the few that Tanner did give, maybe mm-hmm. the only one he gave.
Mm-hmm.
When you heard it, what stuck out to you? Because I remember thinking that was a very unique interview.
I felt like, for me, in some ways, this primary felt even worse than when I was going up against Ken Stuyvesant, who was a Republican. It kind of felt, I had a funny feeling in the pit of my stomach because, I don't know. I know if you read the Marion Star, big name Democrats donated to that campaign fund. Also, there was a great big old reception of fundraising at one of the big name Democrats' house. Support was made by one of the Democrats on city council. And I mean, I just felt like I was an underdog. You know, and it just made me feel, you know, like the black sheep in my family, you know, and I felt really, from that interview, it just felt really different, you know, and I was like, dad, go on, this feels like, you know, it's a Republican instead of a Democrat, and I felt like people should have probably waited until the actual candidate who, through democracy, was chosen by the voters before they came out and actually endorsed candidates. And that was one of the things that I felt was a slam on me. You know, I just felt in a dark place for a long time, but it's better now.
The biggest thing I heard out of that interview, and it's interesting because one of the things Tanner said was that he did speak to you after the election was over,
mm-hmm.
and that at this point he was not willing to endorse Leslie or yourself.
Right.
And Tanner living in the 5th, that will be the council race that he votes in.
Right.
What did you make of that, and how did you feel your conversation went with him after the election?
Well, like I said, we were at Attaboy's, and then I was talking to you about my uncle, who's a veteran. He was ill that night, so Tanner had tried, not only Tanner, but the Marion Star had tried to contact me, but I had to attend to my uncle. He's got congenital heart disease, so I wasn't able to touch base with Tanner on that actual night, on the night of the election. But when we finally did speak, I just felt, I didn't feel like it was a real concession speech. I felt like it was something that politicians do as a matter of, you know, check. So I called my opponent and I conceded, because he did say several things in that conversation that did not sit well with me. You know, throughout this whole campaign, he has made mockery of my age. You know, and even the people that support him have made mockery of my age. He made mockery of my campaign. One of his campaign workers said something disparaging on Facebook about something to the effect of, you know, I don't know the issues. Maybe we can sit in the park, in reference to an article in the Marion Star, and talk about these issues. I just felt like they made mockery of me, and they never did take me seriously throughout the whole campaign. And I was very offended when he said I spun my wheels in this campaign. And I'm here to tell the people in Marion, I did not, you know, what spun wheels mean. Does it mean like when I'm on a housing committee that I'm not out there trying to figure out housing for the people in our community? Does that mean when I attended the housing crisis that was at the library and talking to the constituents about the housing crisis in Marion that I'm spinning my wheels? Does that mean that when I attend city council meetings and am trying to listen and see what's going on, which Tanner, I never saw him at any city council meetings or committee meetings, does that mean I'm spinning my wheels? Does that, you know, when I sent out 1,000 pieces of literature and made over 200 calls, had over 20 volunteers going to the different precincts, does that mean that I'm spinning my wheels? When I'm doing different things with United Way and going out and talking to the people at a bowling event, you know, for United Way, does that mean that I'm spinning my wheels? I'm out every day working toward helping the people to understand that I will be a voice for them, you know, when I sit at the city council table. So I was very offended by that, because I work very, very hard, and the people in my campaign have worked hard to get my message out. So I was very offended by that. And when he said, I would like to see Tara grow. So I'm like, okay, so what exactly does that mean? You know, and like, I'm going to grovel because I want your vote. You know, and like, I don't know who I'm going to give my vote to, but, you know, all the other people, you know, he's like out there actively, you know, for Kai Mead. He's like out there, let's get, you know, Kai elected, you know. And never once in that concession speech did he say, you know, you won the 5th, so I'll do anything I can as a Democrat to help you win. So he never said that, you know.
I think I asked him 2 or 3 times if he was going to endorse you, and mm-hmm. he didn't.
No. And he had a lot of opportunity, you know, to do that. And so when you ask me that question, it's just really hard for me, you know, to understand where, like, if you want the council to take, if you want the Democrats to take council back, but yet and still you had opportunity on your show to say, hey, Tara is blah, 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 and this is this, and, you know, and I feel that, you know, because of this is the way she, you know, I mean, he had a great opportunity there, and he, you know, didn't take it, you know. So, you know, he talked about what he said, he talked to different people, and they want to know about infrastructure. Well, if you come to city council meetings, you'll know that that's one of the main things that they're talking about, infrastructure and fixing streets and using grant money to make Marion better and those kind of things. So I don't know. I think that's the one of the good things about this interview today is to be able to dispel those things and have an opportunity, because I hadn't heard his interview. I had heard about it from three people. And when I listened to it, it just made me sad.
When you see him, I mean, I assume it will happen. It's an election season. He'll mm-hmm. be back in town at some point. He's mm-hmm. a Democrat. I'm sure mm-hmm. he will be at something.
Yeah.
Well, when you two meet up, what do you think will happen?
Well, you know, the Democrats meet, you know, the first Wednesday or Thursday of every month. And we are going in a really good direction. We've got, we're more community oriented, and our leadership is solid, and communication is great. And like your words were like sour grapes, you know. I don't know how I'll react to him. Politics is a strange bedfellow, and he kind of said that when he talked to me. He said, well, you can't go around, you know, being angry at the people who supported me because you're going to need them or whatever. And I said, I'm not angry. I'm just surprised, you know, that people, in my opinion, couldn't see that I was a really good candidate. You know, I mean, I had a lot of things going for me after, you know, despite the fact that I lost. You know, I just come out of a campaign that I felt was well run, and but I don't know how. I might just avoid it for a little while, avoid those contacts, and only go to situations and events where all the Democratic's candidates will be there. But it's hard to go where you know people didn't want you. You know what I mean? It's hard to be around that. It really is.
So at this point, there were a lot of Democrats up for re-election.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor,
mm-hmm.
Kelly Carr, the auditor,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. People at large, Josh mm-hmm. Daniels, Becky Gustin, Democrats. Kai Mead is not up for re-election, but it's a vacated seat because of Robert Landon. Do these people, in your opinion, now that we're 5 months away from the election, mm-hmm. do you feel supported by this group of Democratic candidates now that you are the candidate for the 5th Ward, Democrat?
Would you be offended if I said no comment?
That's okay.
You know, because, you know, when I came here, I said, Lord, help me not to say things that will be politically suicidal for me. And if I answer that question, I feel that I might say something that might be misconstrued. So I'll have to say no comment on that. But I must say that I do support the Democratic Party, and will do whatever I can do to get all the Democrats elected. So, like, the at-large stuff with Becky Gustin and Josh, see, that's already a wash. I mean, because they have no, you know, we already know the three people that are going to be in that particular position. We know that with the Bobby Landon vacated seat, my friend Jill was going to run but she had some health issues. So I don't know who the Republicans are going to run against Kai Meade. He has youth on his side because, you know, young people are energetic. They're energetic. So that one's pretty much, we're going to have to work pretty hard as far as that's concerned. The mayor has got those two independent candidates, and Kevin Norris is going to be really, really, really strong. So we got to work hard. And Kelly, you know, Carr, and, you know, she's got a formidable opponent, you know, and stuff. So it's just going to be hard work for the Democrats down the line. And as you've said many times, we got to.
They don't like it when I say that. They don't like it. But it's true. I mean, we've got to be truthful here.
Yeah, we just got to work hard. We got to get out, knock on doors, and stuff. So, you know, I'm just going to say no comment on that.
Well, I will say, just to say it one more time, for whatever reason, since 2016 in covering these elections, that only one Democrat has won in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Sheriff Bailey. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And every other Democrat has lost, and lost by significant margins. And there were a lot of seats. County incumbents, Dan Russell, was tossed out of his seat.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a permanent thing or not. I think we'll find out this fall.
I think so. But is Sheriff Bailey really a Democrat?
Well, that's the one example right now.
You probably have to walk me to my car. You see a whole bunch of sheriff cars out there. And I say that because they didn't, you know, they didn't endorse me. So that's why I always make that crack. You know, the FOP didn't endorse me. So,
well, it's interesting because the truth of the matter right now is the primaries are over. You are the Democratic candidate in the 5th ward. You will face 2-term incumbent Republican Leslie Cunningham.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me.
What's your feeling on that?
It's going to be hard. She's tough, you know, and she's, you know, I mean, it's, but we, she and I have talked, and Scott, you know me. You know I don't run dirty races. You know, ask Ken Stuyvesant. We don't go there. We go with issues and what we bring to the table. And she and I have talked, and I said, Leslie, I'm not running one of those kind of campaigns where you ugly and you got, you know, we're not doing that. You know, we're talking about issues and what each one of us can bring to the table, and then it would be up to the voters to decide, you know. And it's about getting voters out, but she's tough. She canvasses hard, you know. They were talking about, Josh Daniels had talked about the fact that, you know, she misses a lot of meetings, and she came right back at him and she said, look, where is it written, you know, that they're, she said, are you taking attendance, you know? And she said, you know, well, maybe we need to bring this to committee and say, you know, blah, blah, blah. So she's tough, but I feel too that if I'm going to beat her, I'm going to have to beat her in the out and outsmart her as far as like issues and things are concerned, and also with approachability with people. So I want to like model some of the stuff that Mike Thomas did in his ward, and remember he formed that council in his ward, and where people were actually heard. And so I want to model some of, because I feel like that is, we're there for the people. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to be, you know, not accessible by phone or whatever, but when I'm at the table and I'm speaking for you, I want to know what it is that drives you, what is, you know, some of the things that you want to see in our ward that will help our ward flourish. But so she's going to be tough, but we've committed that we're going to, you know, go strictly by the book, and because of her experience and, you know, what she does on the council, it's going to be hard. I got to find a chink in her armor.
Well, it's interesting because one of the things you said, which is absolutely true, you attend these city council meetings, and what a year it's been for city council, the mayor, and Judge Ballinger.
Yeah.
Coming up to last Friday. Now, if our listeners don't know, I'm going to try to tintype fashion this, and then I want to get your opinion on what is going on down there, and bring up to, you know, what do you think's going on?
Mm-hmm.
What originally happened was the city council passed a budget late December last year $177,000 to the Marion Municipal Court, which is the agreed upon amount between Judge Ballinger and the mayor, their representatives. Mm-hmm. Mayor Schertzer, I believe it was 8 days after that was passed by City Council, vetoed $100,000 from the judge's fund, and she didn't like it. So she said, we need to fix this. This money needs to be brought back. The mayor put it back in front of City Council to hire a police officer. The council voted yes to do that. Kevin Norris came on this show and said it was a political move because the mayor was up for re-election, but Kevin's running against the mayor, mm-hmm. so you say he might say that. But then the judge in March says it's a political move. Mm-hmm. She says it's a political move. She said if they didn't resolve it as we got closer to June, that she was going to go to the Ohio Supreme Court. She has, it's my understanding, yes. to get this $100,000 back. And then as of Friday, we found out that a committee has now been formed by the city council, made up of Kevin Norris, Robert Landon, who is running against Kelly Carr, and Jason Schauber, that the judge has done something illegal. That was the headline, gave a bailiff a $10,000 bonus, and that might have been illegal. And Mark Russell, in the article, seemed to be quoted as saying he thought it was illegal, that she didn't have the right to do it, and that they're going after her personally, possibly, to pay this money back out of her own pocket, possibly. Now, this meeting with these three to start looking into this won't happen until June the 3rd, is my understanding. But what have you seen? What is this all about? Judge Ballinger has been in here, and the mayor has been in here. The mayor said it was strictly to get the police officer hired. Judge Ballinger said the mayor's playing politics to get reelected. And now they're going after, I would say that's personal. I think she would say it's personal to say she did something illegal by giving this bonus. What's going on?
Now, I hadn't heard about the three, Jason Schauber, who'd you say?
Kevin Norris Kevin, and Robert Landon. I think yeah. around, if I'm wrong, somebody will tell me, but I believe okay. that's what I read.
See, I hadn't heard that. The last I heard was that they had opportunity to go to mediation. And I thought that Ayers Ratliff was a part of the mediation committee. I hadn't heard those three. But I did, I know that people were like, when the $10,000 bonus thing came out, because that sets a dangerous precedent, you know, it's like $10,000, you know, you're going to give somebody a $10,000 bonus, but I, you know, and I don't want to like say because I'm really not sure, but what I'm hearing is that this $10,000 bonus has something to do with bumping the person's salary up in order to have a salary that's a nice salary. Because, you know, when you look into retirement, you look at what your last 3 years of what you made in order to determine what your benefits are. So I had heard that, but I had also heard that as far as Judge Ballinger, it seems to me that she felt like she could do whatever, she could do and have discretion to distribute the funds in her court and in that fund however she wanted to. The other part, the other side of that coin is that no, you cannot do that, you know. My thing was, when you talk about it, is like when they looked at that budget, my understanding is they went to each one of the entities and asked them, do you have a problem? Do you have a problem with this? Do you have a problem with this line item or whatever? And everybody basically like didn't. You know, they didn't have a problem with what was presented in front of them. And they were very surprised that when it came back, that the line item veto had occurred. So,
well, and for people's knowledge, the budget, it's just not brought up one night and passed. There were three readings at three different city council meetings.
Yeah. Everybody, a lot of dialogue.
Everybody knew that it was $177,000 that she wanted. Mm-hmm. There had been mediation, I believe, between Tom Robbins, who was the mayor's representative, and the representative from her office. But the mayor's position, I think, is also a valid one. He does have the power to line item veto.
Yes.
And he wanted to hire a police officer,
mm-hmm.
but she calls that political
mm-hmm.
in a political year.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, when it comes to this $100,000, because now it's going to cost money,
mm-hmm.
and is it ever going to, do you see it being settled? Are people budging? I see the Democrat Josh Daniels give a quote to the Star. Yeah, well, and give a quote to the Star at one point that said he doesn't know if what Judge Ballinger did was illegal, but he doesn't want it to happen again,
mm-hmm.
Raises like that, bonuses mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then also you talked about it earlier. In this political year, Josh had made the comment that certain city council members do not show up to meetings,
mm-hmm.
and it just so happens all those were Republicans who mm-hmm. he was mentioning. Is this a nasty...
No, Ayers Ratliff.
Oh, and Ayers Ratliff.
Okay.
Is this a nastier year than... I mean, I haven't seen anything quite like this.
I know it makes the people in the audience... I mean, it's been getting very testy. You know, a couple people have even said some awful things, you know. But we got to remember that these are co-equal branches of our government. You know, and we also have to remember that if we look at how this money is being distributed and what's happening, it's going to affect a lot of things. You know, they're going to have to move a lot of chess pieces around. And I'm hoping that it doesn't truly affect the drug courts and the personnel there. I'm thinking that I think we're okay until like June, I think I heard. But I think the drug courts are doing an amazing job with trying to make sure that their clients are being directed in the right direction. I know Ayers Ratliff had mentioned that there might have been some things where, you know, the judge doesn't always use discretion as far as money and cutting corners and things are concerned. But I also think that when you look at the $10,000 thing, that bothered me, you know, because if we set that type of precedent, then we know that, you know, who's to say that another, you know, entity in the government might not do this, you know, might do the same thing, you know, and I don't want that to happen. And that also messes with your negotiations as far as all, because I think they said there were like 6 or 7 unions, you know, within City Hall, you know, so that, you know, that negotiating kind of a thing that comes into play as well. And, you know, it kind of messes up the whole thing, you know. I don't know. And a lot of people were like, you know, I want $10,000, you know, that'd be a bonus for me. You know, I mean, so I just think we just really need to understand, you know, what it was for and maybe look at it in a different way. Is there like raises that can occur? And if so, where is that person on that tier? You know, I think we just have to go proper channels or else, you know, we'll mess up the whole flow of how we do, you know, payroll and those kind of things.
Do you think, though, that this $10,000 bonus that went to the bailiff, whether it was right or wrong, and mm-hmm. I'm sure people will figure that out,
mm-hmm.
Does it stem from this $100,000 battle that continues to wage on between city council and the mayor and Judge Ballinger, which apparently might go to the Ohio Supreme Court?
I think it just really brought attention to it, you know. And like Josh said a couple times at meetings, he said we have to be more vigilant as far as the people's money is concerned, and we've got to, instead of like just signing off on things, you know, we gotta research and make sure that, you know, all the monies and the pockets of monies are being distributed according to whatever rule, regulation, whatever negotiated, whatever, you know, because people are gonna notice stuff. You know, and when they're noticing things and they're saying, hey, there's something kind of different about this, then, you know, they're looking at, because people already have a skewed view of the government anyways, You know, like I was looking at a stat, and I think it was on Ed McCance's page where he was talking about only like 27% of the people are coming out to vote. And this lady answered him, and he's like, why? And she said, because people don't trust the government, you know. Number two, because people don't trust the government, you know. Number three, yeah, I mean, but it people already have a skewed view of the government anyways. And if they feel like the government's hiding something or giving someone more than what they're supposed to get, then, you know, that even paints a really terrible picture of people's view of the government.
I was just shocked because I would have to go back a long ways, and I don't have the article in front of me, and it was in Friday's Marian Star. Mm-hmm. But when somebody claims that a sitting judge mm-hmm. possibly did something illegal, and mm-hmm. that was the term that was used, mm-hmm. and also infers that the settlement, $10,000, which is not a little amount of money, mm-hmm. might have to be paid back out of her own personal account. Yeah.
The last meeting, they were talking about it not being taken out of her account and not the person that got the bonus. They weren't talking about recouping the money from him or her. I don't know where, if they were going to try to figure out to adjust the budget or whatever, but at the last meeting they were talking, and I didn't read the article on the Marian Star, so excuse me, and there wasn't a city council meeting this week because of the holidays or whatever, but, and I think it's like next, I don't know, I have to check, but they were talking about how unfair it would be to take the money that was paid to a city employee out of, they weren't going to try to recoup it from him, and the last conversation I didn't think they were trying to get it from her. It's like, maybe does she have $10,000? She'll just write a check. And
I just didn't know what the ramifications would be for
article.
A sitting
yeah.
judge mm-hmm. to have done something illegal, mm-hmm. and that was the term that was used.
Well, when she brought her evidence in front of council, she had evidence to say that it was up to her discretion to, you know, move funds around according to what was needed in her particular department. So she had evidence to the contrary. So I'll be interested to see what this mediation turns out. But I did not read the article in the Marian Star. And I'm going to have to reference that because...
Well, let me ask you this, because this has been going on now since December 20th. Mm-hmm. And we're now about to enter June. And when the judge was in here, she told me that the funds will run out
in June.
Mm-hmm. So here we come. Mm-hmm. And it was my understanding, and I don't want to misquote her, but that interview is online if people want to listen to it.
Yeah.
I thought she said that two probation officers would have to be let go because the funds would not be there mm-hmm. beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're about at that point,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't seem like anything's being solved.
Mm-hmm.
Would this have happened if it weren't an election year?
I think so. I think that $10,000 would have triggered some raised eyebrows. I don't, let's not use politics as a scapegoat all the time. Elections do bring about, like, clarity sometimes, and, you know, like, I can easily say, well, if I were sitting on city council, you know, be that armchair quarterback, that kind of stuff. But I think any time you mess with people's money, they're gonna figure out. There's one guy, Sulu Kelly, that should be on city council because he attends every meeting. He's very savvy, and I'll bet you my house that he would have noticed something like that. You know, the citizens are not as unknowing, you know, and oblivious as people think they are. You know, somebody would have noticed it. So I think that $10,000 would have triggered, you know, someone would have come up before the council and say, hey, because there's a big article in the Marian Star about this, you know, $10,000 bonus. So if it hadn't been the line item veto from the mayor, it would have been someone else, election year or not, I believe, in my opinion.
Do you think that the Democrats have a good strategy going into November.
I really do. I really do. And I'm not just saying that because I am a Democrat. I really feel that as we see different things that are happening in Marion and, you know, not so much the national scene, but things that are happening in Marion. We are a compassionate group. We want things that are definitely great for the people in our community. We are optimistic about where Marion is and where it can go. I think that our leadership is strong. I believe that people are hardened by a lot of the situations that are happening to them in Marion. We're losing jobs. We're losing hope. We can't, you know, get young people to stay here. Although I did see the unemployment rate, and I know that it is looking good and stuff. But I feel like the Democrats, we fundamentally, you know, are ready to take on the challenges that, you know, these next couple of years is going to bring, and it's going to be a challenge. And I think what our message will bring is something that's not only great for the city of Marion, but, you know, most importantly for our constituents here.
What is the biggest problem facing the Fifth Ward, which is part of Marion City, mm-hmm. and such as, what is the biggest problem facing Marion City?
The Fifth Ward or Marion City?
Fifth Ward.
Okay. In my ward, what I'm seeing is, the Hail campaign kind of cracked on me about, was we've had a lot of blighted houses and stuff. And, you know, we've been trying, that's why I'm on this housing committee. We've been tearing down things and not putting things back in its place. So that's what I was referencing when I said we need a safe place and a safe space for our young kids to play. On Jefferson Street, we just tore down a dwelling there, which would be a nice community space for kids to play. I crunched some numbers, you know, as far as the Fifth Ward is concerned, and it's like a tale of two cities in the Fifth, you know, like where if you go where, you know, that Center Street is like the dividing, and we'll probably, when the census come up, we might have to do some different, you know, redistricting then, but it's like there's one side of the Fifth that's like, ooh, nice, and everything is like great. You know, it's like the Jersey side is great, you know. And then on the other side, it's like there's like, we have, you know, infrastructure problems. We have, you know, illiteracy. We have different opportunities that we're not taking advantage of. Like there was just a block grant. And this is one of the things that I question Leslie about, is like when we had that block grant and they asked for different things, that ideas that we could do with all this money, did you say that in the Fifth we could have this, that, you know, A, B, and C, you know? Are you asking for, because I see Ayers Ratliff is getting a sidewalk at, you know, Patterson Street Park, you know, and those kind of things. So when we're having these block grants, what are you saying that we need done in the Fifth, you know? And my major thing too is, you know, if I have that council, that group, that advisory group, we can definitely specify the needs. Some of the things are going to happen anyways. Infrastructure, they're going to fix the streets, you know. They're doing, you know, some different things right now on Jefferson, and, you know, putting new pipes and those kind of things. So infrastructure stuff is going to come. But what are we doing as far as development? You know, thank God for the soybean factory in that area. You know, thank God for, you know, there's lots of open space that we can, you know, do things. So I would like to see, you know, affordable housing in the spots where we're tearing down things. I like our code enforcement guy, so we can clean up that area. So when we go on the other side of Center Street, it looks like the other side, and make it a little equitable and stuff. So there are a lot of things. I'd like to work with literacy so that people can work on getting, jobs, even though I know the unemployment rate is, at nice and steady. I would like to work on growing that middle class there and educating and doing different things to help people get those affordable houses, because everybody should live comfortably. So there's a lot of stuff I want to do, but my passion is kids. So I would like to see, even though I was made mockery of, I'd like to see safe places for kids to go. There are places for community gardens to make beautification there. And I've been working on some community garden stuff and, just a whole litany of things that I would like to see in the Fifth Ward to make it beautiful, make it... I'm hoping that people will be happy there, and I want people to be prosperous, and I want people working.
Tara, the time always goes by so fast, but we will talk more about this.
We better.
And it's always interesting. Tara Dyer, the 5th Ward Democratic candidate for city council coming up in the November election. Stay tuned, Adam.
Thank you.
No problem, Tara. Thank you for coming in. Adam, the computer guy, coming up around the corner. Stay tuned.
.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and Reap Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you call in, just get a station going, and have a great time on the show.